This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech, Decking and Railing. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Menely, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago. That is one of the all-timers. The whole bloody end of that game. I mean, I just throw my hands up. What in the name of God was that that we just witnessed?
I don't know, guys. I'll start. I mean, I'm sitting here before that last play, and I'm thinking I'm just going to, you know, I have all these notes in the game, and they're all negative notes. I'm like, well, we can just scrape those away. Because we just came away with a win somehow. And then the emotions now watching that just happen is unbelievable. But if you look at my notes, you look at the stats and all that kind of stuff, that should have been the score for the Commanders to beat the I'm speechless right now, to beat the Bears, because they played so poorly, and I thought they just were going to sneak one out. And then that happens. I mean, this game of football, it's never over. Olin, you and I have played in a couple that we've won on Hail Marys as well, and it just – it's – Yeah, my emotions are going nuts right now. I was so disappointed the whole game. I'm like, oh, we just won one. Nope, we just lost one. Oh, my gosh, man. Holy cow.
I mean, it's you don't even know what to say, because it was so bad for so long, like you're saying, Pat, and then they come back, and what a gutsy performance by Caleb with, I don't know who was that in the game, the sixth offensive lineman was in the game, getting hit, come back, score that touchdown to take the lead, and then it's just, you know, whether it been the details – throughout the whole game on offense, and then the details catch up to them on defense. The ball is going to get tipped. Somebody behind is going to be there to catch it. Somebody's got to be guarding the guy behind, right? So I'm sure Coach Flews will say that. What a frustrating way to lose the game. What a frustrating way to lose a game on a Hail Mary. Last second pass there, and you start to think about, okay, certain, you know, a couple Kyler Gordon's out, Brisker's out. Where are they supposed to be on that last play? What are the details on the last play of your Hail Mary? I'm sure they practice it. We all know you jump for the ball, it's going to tip either forward or back. And when it tips back, somebody's got to be there to defend the guy in the back. It looked like it was number 85, Brown. Yeah. Defend him from catching the ball. There's not much, you know, that's a breakdown of the play without swearing on the radio. don't really know what else to say. without getting myself fired after watching that game and that last play. Not much else to say there about that loss. That loss has got to hurt. It's got to sting. It stings me because, like Pat said, I was excited to talk about a gritty performance, a comeback. I was excited to talk about Caleb doing the special, right? That's what Ryan Poe said about him, right? Yeah. Like lean on your teammates, and when the time comes, do the special. And it looked like he did the special to get his teammates down there to win the game. And at the end of the game, they throw this Hail Mary and catch it. And they lose a game they deserve to lose, but they came back to win it, and it just hurts for them to lose that game, obviously. To break down that last Hail Mary again, somebody's got to be back there to catch the guy to defend the guy who's on the tip. And you saw Byard turn around and look like who the hell was supposed to be back there.
Yeah. Hey guys, Mully, can we just do this? Can we do the post game as if the last play didn't happen? That'd make me a lot happier. I mean, I'm ticked. I can't believe it. And like you said, Olin, I wanted to talk about all the bad stuff that went on, and then, like you just said, the good things they were able to do as a team to bring it back and win, and just the Hail Mary like that when you just – seems like that's not going to happen at all. And then it happens, and Olin, I just went right back to think about 2001 back-to-back wins against the Browns and the 49ers when, you know, you're out of it, but you kind of have belief as a team, and you got a guy like Jaden Daniels, and he's building a resume with that throw right there.
I got to tell you, it's supposed to be a lot more difficult to complete a Hail Mary. It is literally a play named after a prayer. And it was like the guy was standing there by himself. I mean, I don't know how that happens. I don't know how you don't. I don't understand how that happened.
Yeah, and also, guys, if the performance, another thing, Olin, to talk about the performance the defense had, that's another thing I couldn't wait to get on there to talk about, because the Commanders have been eating up the NFL offensively, and they went there to held them to 12 points to that point, and then that happens, and that's in details what you're talking about, Olin. It's just very, very disheartening.
It's when you the chances of them completing that, and do you rush three, and do you try to put some pressure on him to make the ball get out of his hand quick? And I saw Eberflus talking to Jalen Johnson right there. You know, I know he's on the score. I'd like to know what they were talking about. And he gave the signal for that Hail Mary defense. And I know no one is going to sell each other out there. And maybe somebody will fall on the sword. But you could just you know, and I know, Pat, that someone's supposed to be guarding that guy behind on the tip.
Mm-hmm.
Who that was? We were worried about two defensive backs being out. Now the defense again. I mean, you know, what a game by the defense, right? What a performance we text during the game.
Yeah.
I mean, what a performance holding them out of the end zone, and then Swift comes alive and Karan Armagaji, not a great game, but a couple good blocks, right? And Doug Kramer's got to get in there. And then a Doug Kramer fumble. And it's just this game had everything. But gosh, you know, the first thing I thought, I don't know, you guys, I'm sure you guys thought that too, was the Bears fans deserve a win like this, where their quarterback comes alive in the fourth quarter and starts completing passes. And he threw that one on the goal line, like underhand, and zipped it into, I think it was Tyler Scott. Another amazing pass, and just, you know, I kept thinking about when Ryan Poles, I think the words he used were, I want to lean on the talent around him, and when the timer's right, that's when you do the special thing, right? And that's what I thought he did. I thought he did the special thing and won the game, and then that Hail Mary just really pisses you off, and I'm sure they're pissed off too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hard thing to watch. It's a hard thing to watch, and it's a hard thing to watch a defense play that hard and give up that last play. It's hard to watch that offense come back and score, even though they were terrible most of the game, come back and score that touchdown and lose a game like that. That is going to be a long flight home, guys.
Oh, and it just changes the story, too. So now Jaden Daniels gets all the, you know, the press and the pub. And, Olin, like you said, the fourth quarter was Caleb time, and it was great. And the one thing, the throw he had to DJ Moore when Bobby Wagner hit him in the chest. He stood there, took it, and delivered it. That's what a good fourth quarter, that's what a good NFL quarterback does. And, man, that young man was struggling the entire time. I'm sure we'll talk throughout this post game of what was Shane Waldron kind of calling. Seems like he was just throwing plays out there with no real philosophy, tempo, or whatever you want to call it. But Caleb in the fourth quarter, it's just unfortunate now that it comes down to that Hail Mary throw by Jaden Daniels, and we're not talking about Caleb Williams driving him down and winning the game. Yeah, it just stinks.
Yeah, it was Caleb, right? It was Keenan Allen beating somebody. It was DJ Moore putting pressure on people. It was Darnell Wright coming down and moving the three technique and bouncing up to the linebacker. And Roschon Johnson hitting it behind him. We talked about it so much, right? Darnell Wright, Mercedes Lewis, run behind them when you need a yard for a touchdown. They did that. They did all of that stuff. And then just the details of a Hail Mary defense got to them at the end of the game. And it's just in that moment, you know, it's just, man, it's just not, it's the last thing that you want to see. And now, you know, because you lose the game, now we've got to talk about just how bad the offense was for most of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you.
I mean, shovel pass to Cole Kmet to go up 3 points.
Yeah, that was great.
Yep.
Right?
But,
it was amazing.
But, guy, I mean, like, I really thought that the handoff to Kramer was like an act of insanity. I don't know why in a game where you can't score, why you get cutesy cute. What the hell was that? And, frankly, on third down and five to run the quarterback, are you trying to get him hurt? Like, what was that at the end of the game? And then you come back and you get the pass interference call and you're just kind of blown away. Oh, my God, they're really going to win this game. And then to have that happen at the end, it's just so deflating. I can't imagine what it must be like in that locker room. I mean, it must be so solemn. It must be like a funeral or that was insane that happened in that fashion.
Yeah, just the ebbs and flows of emotion, right? You're up so much, you're down so much, you're up so much, and then you're down again. And then, Olin, that Kramer call just makes me think about what coaches do during the bye week. To me, that was a bye week call. They had a lot of extra time on their hands, and they're like, oh, let's put this one in. We can fool them with, you know, the refrigerator Perry, you know, fullback lineman run. And that to me is just when the coaches have too much time, in my opinion, don't get so cute there. Do what you're good at. Like you said, run behind Darnell Wright and do it that way. But I don't know. That's a bye week call to me. And that was a bad, bad, bad call. But I was hoping we were going to have fun with that after a win. And now we've really got to break that down more. Yeah.
You know, it was also on Tony Romo, I thought, did a really nice job talking about the only play they could run before the Hail Mary, right? And just, you know, I'd like to know why the Bears didn't defend that short out there to get him in range to throw the Hail Mary, right? So if Tony Romo in the booth knows what they're about to do, then we should probably know too and have guys on the sideline about 10 yards down the field to get that little out route to McLaurin and then this Hail Mary here. Just you know, not – you know, rushing, you know, I don't know if he was injured, but, you know, I don't see Montez Sweat on the field. I don't know. It sucks to pick apart that play.
Didn't he have a leg issue or something?
He did. It sucks to pick apart that play and then see ask what the hell happened, you know?
Yeah. Man, and I look at these stats too, guys. When they were losing, I was like, well, this is what the game should be coming down to. But then, you know, then they're going to win the game. I'm like, oh, this is one that just doesn't fit, right? They were 2 for 12 on third downs, 0 for 1 on fourth down, only 111 yards passing. They did okay in time of possession, only 5 minutes below them. Had 8 penalties. They had some dumb penalties. And Olin, you mentioned in the pregame, some pre-snap penalties, offside penalties playing in a loud place. That's probably going to happen a couple times. That's just part of home field advantage. And then they lose the turnover battle 1-0. So, those are losing stats, and I was hoping to say those are losing stats for a lucky team that won today, but that's not what happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean,
it's just depressing. It's
hard to believe with 2 seconds left that you could go from, you know, finally taking the lead in the fourth quarter and the performance, as Olin said, that the general manager talked about, the idea that Caleb Williams hadn't been able to do anything all game, and then the fourth quarter he leads them to a couple of touchdowns, and they're going to win this game. And the defense, I mean, goodness gracious, how do you keep that team kicking field goals all day? That was extraordinary. Mm-hmm. It really was, you know, and you kept thinking in the back of your head that, boy, they should have a lot more points, right? I mean, they're kicking field goals that are shorter than extra points. So that tells you that the Bears are really locking down in the red zone and really inside the 5 yard line, for God's sake. It's just insane.
And then they force a three and out after the fumble, Olin. This defense played unbelievable. They picked up the team and said, "All right, here's your chance to go win it." And then unfortunately they slip it up on that Hail Mary, but they just were doing everything right defensively, and that's what that cover two does. The bend and don't break. Unfortunately there were no takeaways, but they had a hell of a game until that last play, man. That's just, man. Mm.
Yeah, Coach Eberflus puts on a show. I mean, he obviously got to take the blame for that last play, yeah. Right? But he puts on a show in the red zone now, guys. His blitz timing and his coverage calls and what he does down there, guessing on blitzes and getting guys free and, you know, sending T.J. Edwards or Tremaine Edmonds or Blackwell. Right. I mean, it's not even Kyler Gordon, right? And he's sending them and he keeps shutting down an offense where I'm saying when they get there with the quarterback running the ball with inside the 20-yard line, how are they going to stop him? And they just keep doing it. They just kept doing it all game, man. And just you hate to have to talk about them after in a game like that. I mean, this game hurts. No one wants to hear the silver lining. But this quarterback now, he's done the special that Ryan Poles talks about at the end of a few halves and at the end of a few games. Now we got to get going.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the game, and right. Where you guys are talking about quarterback sweep and the dive to Doug Kramer and those things are questionable calls. And I'm sure, you know, when you're calling plays there and they're saying, well, Coach Waldron, Karan is at left tackle and Kramer is at left guard because Murray, Tevin Jenkins, and Braxton Jones are out, right? Like, that's how gutsy of a performance this was. That's how much you want to talk about and hand out their flowers for a win like this, right? That's how much you want to talk about it. Because, man, to win with three offensive linemen out and all the time you stop them in the red zone, but all that comes to a crashing halt when someone completes a Hail Mary.
Yep.
I guess they can't trade Nate Davis, huh?
Oh, man. Nope, he'll be playing. He'll be playing. I hope Tevin's not serious. I mean, there was, you know, the one when he went to grab his knee, normally when a guy goes to grab the front of your knee, I tore my ACL. That's what they always tell you, that's an ACL. Like, that's the first reaction you have. And he did that the first time he came back in. And then at the goal line, he got bent over backwards bad and didn't look good. So,
right.
Yeah, this is the position where Poles said, I'm glad I have depth. And they played pretty well, right? Like you just said, Olin, with that depth going in there and gutting it out to possibly get a win, to put themselves in a position to get a win. They did a nice job. But, again, unfortunately, the damn Hail Mary.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the Hail Mary hurt, right? And, you know, if you go through that game, you know, with the touchdown, fumble at the one, I mean, there was two drives there where you're like, you know, you keep saying to yourself in a bye week, like, what just happened? Like, why did it take so long to get going, right? But Caleb was off, right? And we talked about him going home in the first half, and we talked about, and it looked like he had some nerves, like it was affecting him a little bit. Out there, and he wasn't completing passes. And someone texted me, what are the Commanders doing to him? And I said, nothing really special, right? Nothing really special except for the fact that I thought that, you know, maybe they want to go away from that up-tempo offense because I thought Bobby Wagner, middle linebacker, was listening to the calls. And as you know, Pat, they get the defense gets the TV copy and listens to your calls.
Yep.
And they kind of know what your plays are. After all, and I thought Wagner had a good idea of what they were calling at no huddle. And I mean, you know, it just seems so insane to talk about this game, right? It just seems so, because you were so ready to hand out the fact that who cares what happened for three quarters, they won.
Yeah.
But now that they lost, now you talk about, okay, why didn't we challenge the spot on that one play, right? Why didn't we challenge the catch? It was just, there are a few coaching decisions that you have to talk about.
All right, 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We're going to take your phone calls. I mean, this is one of the all-timers. I got a text from John Heyman. He's a baseball writer. He's flying from L.A. to New York with the World Series, and he said people started yelling on the plane. Because they were like watching the game on their phones and stuff, and it just was like a giant, like no one could get over what was going on. So it's not just people in Chicago, but we'll get to your calls next. You're listening to the Post Game Show, the Great Clips Post Game Show, presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago, here on The Score.
To Swift. Look at Swift. Take it to the Washington side of the 50. Down the sideline he goes. And he's galloping home for the game's first touchdown.
There's your Devin Hester moment. You're really two plays off. And I don't see any flags on the field. That's the area where they've been getting going, the C-gap, Jim, outside and wide. And Swift shows off the great instincts, the cut, and then the burst to finish.
Welcome back to the Great Clips Postgame Show, presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago. We've got the great Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, and we are working our way through whatever that was. There's a happy moment anyway. How about that? Wasn't that great? DeAndre Swift with a big touchdown, and Bears managed a couple touchdowns, but all right. Should we just get to the calls? Does anyone want to harp more on who did what wrong on that last play? Who are we blaming? Do we have a name? Give me.
I'm sure we'd probably vote Vilas, but he's not here anymore.
Maybe he should have been. They should have had him out there.
Just looking at Matt Bowen, obviously friend of the score, posted a defense of the Hail Mary. And there's a guy you can't have on his drawing. Anybody wants to go to his Twitter page or mine, I reposted it. On his drawing, you can't have too many guys jumping for the ball. There has to be one guy they call the savior back there. And he's going to save you from a tip ball. And obviously the Bears, we don't know who the savior is supposed to be in Coach Eberflus's scheme, but obviously nobody played that position, right?
Yeah.
Because
right.
The receiver is standing there all by himself, looking for his name now. Noah Brown is standing there all by himself, and whoever's right. supposed to be back there to play the tip wasn't back there. Everybody jumped for the ball. So there was confusion on that play. There was a lack of details for the Chicago Bears, even to start the game, whether it be Caleb bobbling the first shotgun snap or on second down or the delay of game on third down. So just little things like that is why you lose football games, and it was hard to watch.
All right, we got a lot of people who want to check in. We're going to get to your phone lines. We're going to start with our buddy Paul Pabst. He does a score show on Saturday mornings, the tailgate, and he has pretty much the same reaction we all do. He needs to vent a little. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Oh, fantastic, Paul. Thanks for I was listening to you guys the first 20 minutes, and you sound like I feel. It was exasperating. It's like I walked out of a sauna, and I'm sweaty, and I'm upset. It's like the jump ball at the end. Yeah, it was a mistake not having someone back. But the previous play, and you guys talked about this, Tony Romo's yelling, they got 7-8 seconds here. They get 8 yards and set themselves up. And you could see on the sidelines, Caleb Williams is yelling to the DBs, get up, because he sees what Romo sees because he's a quarterback. But the play, and I got to go back to it, and it's very obvious, giving the ball to an offensive lineman at the goal line. That's what you do when you're up 30 and you've already got a playoff spot settled. Because this is the kind of play we're talking about maybe in late December that, hey, 10-7 is 9-8 and you're staying home. That's the kind of play it reminds me of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to Paul's point, you call your best play. When a game is close like that, you call your best play and you give it to your best player and you run behind your best blocker, right? That's what you do there. When you're up by maybe 2 scores and you want to give your backup center the ball on a 1-yard line, then fine.
Yeah, and you guys said something earlier. I think it was you, Olin. I think you said that, when you get a bye week, you get too creative and you got too many extra plays. And every Bears fan watching that game.
That was Pat, yeah.
Okay, sorry, Pat. But like you said, just give the ball to Roshan and creativity be damned.
Frustrating. Yeah, frustrating.
It is very frustrating.
Yeah.
And like we talked about, funny you can hear it, Paul.
You guys sound like you're collectively hurting in actual pain. But again, it's one of those things, like I think you guys also said it in the first segment. If the Bears ended up winning this, everything would have been washed away. That play that got them set up for the Hail Mary and the giving the ball to the goal line to an offensive line would have been washed away. And it's not better that they lost. Of course it's not better. But now they got to answer for those things. And these are the kind of plays they add up at the end of the season. When someone's out of work, they wonder why, and they look back at this.
Great stuff, Paul. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for checking in. The fear here, and I don't know if I'm the only one who feels it, but you're pretty beaten up on the offensive line, as we mentioned. Mm-hmm. Could you have lost 2 games for 1 in this thing? You somehow got through. You somehow took the lead. I think Nance said it at the end of the game. You trailed for 59 minutes and 30-something seconds, and then all of a sudden you've got the lead, and it's like, oh, they did it. Wow, 4 in a row, and here we go. Someone have a ticker tape parade, and next thing you know, it all goes to HE double hockey steps.
I watched my sons go up to play Oregon this weekend. They got beat up pretty bad.
Yeah.
But Coach Bielema said something really good after the game. He said, we can't let Oregon beat us twice.
Right.
Right? You can't. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're saying, Molly, right, about the Washington State. It's one loss, you know, and you gotta pull out of it the fact that the defense did what they did and the quarterback made plays at the end of the game, which we don't see around here a lot. Right? He made plays at the end of the game with his arm standing in the pocket while he was getting hit. So you have to admit to your mistakes, but those stuff still happen. It's a hard way to lose a game, but you can't lose on a play like that. You got to admit what was wrong. You got to admit who made the mistake, and you got to look each other in the eye, and you got to take ownership of it. But you also have to say, okay, man, when you're in a room, I'm sure Ryan Pose is in a room somewhere, and he's saying, my quarterback that I took number one, he did that special thing I was talking about. Yep. Right? But you got to watch, because a loss like that, Manly, can hurt so bad.
Yep.
And with the injuries and stuff, it can hurt so bad that it can linger. So this is when the leaders step up. Guys got to get in the training room. They got to get themselves healthy. You just got to admit you lost this game. You got to dust yourself off. You have a couple more winnable games coming up. But this one's going to sting for a couple of days.
Yeah, and like you just mentioned the injuries, man. So that's Montez Sweat. Well, we don't know how bad he's injured. Yeah. That's obviously a key piece on defense. Then you lose your left tackle and possibly starting left guard. I mean, that's, you know, two of the five in the front five there, and if they can't come back, and that's a great point, Olin, talking about one loss can't lead to another loss and another loss and all that kind of stuff. But to me, that loss hurt, but those injuries of those three guys right there could hurt even more in the long run if you don't have those guys out there.
I'm trying to decide whether I should blame Jaquan Brisker or Kyler Gordon, who was supposed to be back deep. It's one of those.
Well, and it's clearly. Just, you know, I mean – in a game like that, man, you don't want you lost the game, right? Like mm-hmm. Eventually they have to compartmentalize that and just we lost. You lost the game. That's it. Realize as we all realize, Pat, the older we get, we talked about on this radio show today that I was actually a worse football player when I actually learned how to win football games in the NFL. Right there. Yep. I was winning football games when I was actually worse at football because we learned how to win. And all I mean by that, Mully, is you learn that the thing you do on Monday morning is why you win on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. When you walk through Hail Mary on Friday or Saturday, when you walk through, your ass better be paying attention.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Right? You better be paying attention to what you're supposed to be doing on that play when the ball is away from you or the ball's towards you or the ball's in the middle of the field. What is my exact job, right? And then as a leader, it's like, man, are you paying attention to this, right? Like you can have fun and walk through, but you better be paying attention. So the Chicago Bears are learning how to win games. And all you hope when you watch something like that is that they take this game and they use it as fuel to learn how to win games and say, look, man, we got to look like we looked in the fourth quarter in the first quarter.
Yep. Oh, and that's a great point, too, Molly, real quick. The Hail Mary, you don't practice. You walk through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's when the details are that important because you really can't run that full speed all the time. That's where injuries can happen, things like that, and you just really don't. And that's a great point, Olin. That walkthrough on Friday, probably when they do it, or even Saturday, when you kind of put the dot in the I's and crossing the T's, you're going through all that stuff, situational football, that maybe this makes them think, hey, I've really got to, you know, they're obviously going to do it next week, but they better continue that for the rest of the time they're here because that is important, and those little things come back and bite you. You don't expect them to. Those are the things. Olin, I go back to the game where we won. I think it was the first one was against the Browns where we threw it to James Allen, and we were on offense with it, and James Allen was in the perfect spot where he was coached to be and walk through, and the ball was tipped right to him, and that's how we scored and won. And that goes back to doing all the little details, and obviously they didn't do it on defense, but it is that important, and that wins games, and it doesn't happen all the time. Like you're not in that position all the time, but when you are, you better know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, go ahead, Molly.
No, I was just go ahead, finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say that's when the leaders step in, right, Pat? And that's people always ask, what is leadership? How do you define it? Mm-hmm. What do you do? Well, when you're a leader, you're looking around for the guy who's not paying attention.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Who's not paying attention on a critical walkthrough like that. And when you walk up to him and you say, hey, you know what you're supposed to do on that play? Do you hear what the coach was saying to you? Do you know who you got? And you grill him. You grill him because, look, man, it looks like you're not paying attention to me right now. And you start to pick and choose because you realize what plays you're walking through that are going to be critical moments in the game.
Yep.
It's a great, great coaching point, really. Let's try Scott. Scott's in Arlington Heights. Hey, Scott.
Hey, gang. I think this is a great segue with what you're talking about, getting the players ready for the upcoming week. I think getting the coaches ready for the upcoming week. The players, I think, played well. Could you imagine any other coordinator that would put somebody who wasn't qualified to handle the ball in a crucial moment, the defensive coordinator, maybe the special teams, to put a punter in to do a fake punt, Fishnick Rubberneck, who hasn't been there? I mean, so I think the coaches, maybe this was a blessing in disguise that they lost. So now they can take a step back and say, we need to do what we have to do, rather than doing these, you know, option plays at the goal line or, giving the ball to Kramer, or let's just run the ball with the qualified athletes that we have that have been doing the job all day long. And let's trust in our players and not do this, you know, Ditka-esque William Perry stuff. We're the Bears. Let's do it. We've come along this way. We don't have to be pretty. Let's just be the Bears.
I think, you know, that was bothersome, and I think we need to complain about it. You know, the fourth down play earlier in the game when they decided to throw the ball to DJ Moore and they got stopped, that was equally idiotic. Why wasn't Kramer in and you run behind him if you need a yard? Or why not even fake that and throw that pass if you have to? But I didn't understand that call at all. I think there were a few different calls where you thought there was an element of trying to show your brains, not your brawn, on different plays.
Olin, I saw that as Caleb checking to that. Am I correct? Did I see that as well? Is that, you know, he had the option to pick the run or the pass?
Yeah, you're right. It's he has the option to throw it out there, right? And there's a few things to me on that play. It's a dive left, and they have three tight ends to one side of the field. He's in a reverse pivot so that back can come downhill and hit the A-gap. Or if he thinks that cornerback is off far enough on DJ Moore, and they did that, it's the same play early in the year and threw it, popped it out to DJ Moore. He can pop it out there. And the cornerback fooled him a little bit, right? Started back.
Yes.
And right when he was in the middle of his cadence, he came up. St. Juice, I think, was out there. Now, there's a few things to me on that play. And to be honest, Mercedes Lewis got beat pretty bad there, I think, by Dante Fowler. And the play might have been stopped anyway. But like you're saying, Mully, maybe just have a run. Just have a run play on. And don't give him the option. Or number two is, look, man, St. Juice, I think St. Juice signed for 4 years, $5 million. I think he's making $1 million a year. Receiver we popped it out to is making 20 plus, right? Mm-hmm. We got to get the first down, right? He caught the ball. The ball's in his hands. DJ Moore, I'm sure he would tell you that he's got to run through someone like St. Juice. Like, if I'm a coordinator, and he's one-on-one with this guy, I feel pretty good about that, Pat. I feel pretty good about popping it out to him, and I don't want to see him try to spin out of a tackle. Right. I want to see him run through the guy and get me a first down there. That's just kind of – I don't know how you feel about all of that, but I just kind of feel like a lot of people failed on that play, to be honest.
Yeah, and I just have a feeling, too. Sometimes I see – and maybe I'm being – speaking out of my two sides of my mouth here, that sometimes – there may be
we do radio, Pat.
Caleb.
This is what we do.
I know. But maybe speaking, because he's maybe putting too much on his plate. Like a young quarterback like that, yes, we want him to be great and he's learning. But then there's also times, I think, as a coach in situational football, you say, I got this, Caleb. This is what we're running. This is what I've schemed. This is what I've scouted all week. And this play is designed to work against them. I don't need you to have the decision to figure out what's going on here. We're going to run this play with our best players and make a play.
Right.
And I feel like I see a little bit of that. I thought I saw a lot more of that today, that maybe they got a little too comfortable with Caleb. And I'm not – there's some certain situations if I would just say, hey coach, me talking to coach. Coach, you call the play. That's your job as well. Like, I understand you want this kid to be great and be like the Aaron Rodgers out there or Peyton Manning, be able to check everything. But he is a rookie in Game 7. You call the play you think is best that you've worked all week on to design, to be in that situation in 4th-and-1 that we're going to get a first down with.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good point. Steven is in Detroit. Hey, Steven.
Hey, guys. I'm definitely numb, like everybody else, about this game. You know, I've seen this, you know, performance from the Bears, you know, like the 2006 Cardinals game, et cetera, and the 2001 49ers game where the Bears were completely not in the game and then somehow steal victories. We've seen this before, and I thought we were going to do it again. And yet, I think the biggest takeaway from this is that, you know, the substandard coaching that we saw from Shane Waldron's, you know, Kramer handoff that was completely a disaster, and then Matt Eberflus's Hail Mary, you know, defense and everything. I think we're going to have a loss that not only be talked about for a while, but this is the type of loss that could really linger on and define a season, define a career. I think if, you know, Ryan Poles is serious about winning, you know, he can't afford to keep Eberflus if this is a trend. You know, this is not like Velus Jones where he had countless opportunities and finally decided enough is enough. He has to think long and hard about, you know, whether can we afford to waste the rookie years of Williams and a substandard coaching that was on display tonight. And I think we're going to be talking about this for a while, and it will probably be a loss that will sting for quite some time. At least me and my other Bears fans will probably, you know, will be laughed at for a long, long time by other fans, unfortunately.
Thanks, Steven. What do you think? He's mad at the coaches.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this loss definitely will be one that'll go on Eberflus's like Rolodex, you know, the one you'll always remember, no matter if he lasts 10 years, 15 years, or two more years, or do one more year. You're always going to remember this game just because it was that kind of that iconic of a game with the way it played out. But I was hoping this. He was talking about defining a career, and Olin, you mentioned at the beginning, I was hoping this was the game that started the definition or defining Caleb's career of the fourth quarter comeback, leading you down to a victory on the road, hostile environment, but obviously didn't work out with that last play, but that's what I was hoping for. With that, you know, the fourth quarter started happening. I'm like, all right, here we go. We got one. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it didn't work out.
No, it didn't. And I know what the caller is saying, and there's a lot of blame to go around, right? I just can't bring myself to imagine, Pat, with all the football that I've played, that Hail Mary situation hasn't been walked through numerous of times. Mm-hmm. Right, and you know, as players, some point, like, that was my fault, you know, like at some point, like there is some responsibility there, right? There is some responsibility for a unit that there has been a lot of assets put into, mm-hmm. and I'm sure Coach Eberflus, I mean, yes, Coach Eberflus deserves some of the blame, because that is, you know, that is his defense, and that is his scheme back there. But I'm sure without throwing anybody under the bus, you're going to hear no uncertain way that there was supposed to be somebody there guarding Noah Brown.
Right.
And that guy didn't do his job, you know, and I saw a secondary tonight. I saw a guy poke somebody in the face.
Yeah, right? That was mm-hmm. bad.
Like I saw a lack of discipline out there more than once. And you know, from a guy who sometimes could major in a lack of discipline, I'm not going to keep yelling about a personal foul, but you know, that was a big, at the end of the game, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what you're saying about, like, there was so much to talk about that you wanted to say was you were waiting to see from this team in that fourth quarter. And it sucks to talk about that last play. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Can they get that last play corrected, and can they get moving forward is the question.
I got one question, though, about the Hail Mary, just because he ran around so long. Normally it's as soon as the guys get to the goal line, kind of the ball's coming. I wonder how much the guys got out of phase, if that makes sense. I'm not making an excuse, but the timing, just how long he ran around and how much they must have been moving around down there near the goal line, because a lot of times it's, you know, you're going to get, as soon as the guys are able to run that far enough, there's enough pressure, the ball's gone. But he did have a long time to run around back there, and I wonder how much that messed up their responsibilities. But, again, that's not an excuse. I'm just wondering if that did come into play with some of their poor execution.
Well, and that's why you want to see Montez Sweat on the field at that time, right?
Yeah.
If he can be, obviously. If he can be. You know, I don't know.
Right.
I'm not saying, you know, if he's injured, he's injured. I mean, you know, we've all been injured and out of games. But, you know, he's not out there. And that Washington Commanders offensive line, Javon Dexter, was got hit late there, and it gave bothered him just enough time to throw mm-hmm. that pass.
Yep.
All right, we're going to be right back. 312-644-6767. We're going to take a quick timeout. It is the post-game show, the Great Clips post-game show, presented by Sony Pictures Wonderver Chicago on the Score.
Comes down to one last play, and it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
They're happy in the DMV. Welcome back to the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago. And we've got Olin, we've got Pat. We should say that it's time for our Who's Hot and Who's Cold segment. And sponsored by Plumbers 911, Plumbing Emergency Call. The professionals available 24-7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. I think hot, let's go with... With the running back, with DeAndre Swift, he had 129 yards rushing and a big touchdown. And for cold, we'll choose the unnamed savior who is supposed to be deep on right. that play, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we'll hey, Tyler, thanks a lot for twisting that knife a little bit more for replaying that that play there.
You look so happy.
I don't think
Pat.
Any of us wanted to hear it anymore. I've heard it enough.
Hey, trust me, it hurt me playing it.
Oh man!
Oh, what a circus! I mean, the only thing that was missing is the guy should have run into a trombone player or a tuba player or something in the end zone. What was that?
Yeah.
It is something, man. It just hurts. It hurts, like you said, Pat, for Tyler to replay that. And it's the kind of day that you end up in a fist fight somewhere. You don't even know why. You don't know what the hell happened.
And you still don't feel any better.
You still don't feel any better. So brutal, man. Brutal way. I can't imagine the way they feel on that airplane. I can't... Just a tough way to lose a game after coming back and fighting so damn hard and overcoming, some stupid plays and some bad play calls and playing so bad on offense, but playing so good on defense. And then to lose a game like that, it's just it's deflating for everybody, I'm sure. Anybody listening to us, anybody who watched the game, you heard the Bears fans at the game. I'm sure they walked out and they don't. You don't even know what to say. You're just looking for a beer. Anywhere you can find a beer, you're looking for one. An IPA, right alongside IPA.
You need a couple of those.
You're looking for a good beer, apparently.
Gave me a six pack, but there was three missing. I don't know what happened.
They spilled. They had holes in them, right in the top, right when you crack it open. But hey, Olin, you had a great point earlier about how do you bounce back from this, and this to me is going to be a big evaluation of Matt Eberflus going forward, because this is the most devastating loss they've had, or the most emotional loss I think they've had since he's been here. And then what do they do against the Cardinals coming up? You know what I mean? How do they bounce back from this? Are they able to go out there next Sunday? You got time in between to kind of clean things up, hopefully, and heal some things up as well. But I think this is a big game. This was a big game, Mully. You talked about it, trying to win on the road. He didn't
pass
that test.
I was just going to ask. Yeah. How do you win on the road? How did they lose that game on the road? It didn't matter where they were at. How did you lose that game? Yeah. But they're 3-17 now under Eberflus on the road. Whether that has anything to do with how bad they were a couple years ago, last year they lost. 3-17, guys. It adds up.
Definitely have to learn how to win on the road, and that's what we were talking about earlier. When you're doing things and you start to learn how to win, Pat, and you start to get a little older group around and you realize how critical things are that the coaches are talking about and you're going through, that really is as boring as it seems, as much as you hear it, that's why you hear it so much about details matter. That really is a secret sauce, right? It really is. And everyone has to buy in and be doing it, right? Like everyone has to be doing it. And you saw what happened tonight when the details slipped just a little bit.
Then the details before the Hail Mary, you know, Tony Romo brought it up and you mentioned it too, Olin, that why weren't they covering the out? That's a possibility there, and that's a smart play, and that put him in position to really be able to throw that Hail Mary, and that's on coaching as well. I mean, that the players weren't there because they weren't told to be there. That should be defended, right? That defense should be called to defend that. They had no defenders there, and that's details as well, and that's details upstairs at Hallis Hall, not just downstairs in the locker room. That's details upstairs in the coaching office.
And Eberflus, as you would imagine, said in the post game that they have defended that play 1,000 times. Since they've talked about it. They've gone over it 1,000 times since he's been here. So they do that every week.
Yeah, which me and Pat have been a part of a lot. Yeah. Right? And that's why I'm saying, and I know Coach Flus is not going to bus toss anybody, and I respect him for that. But there is a professional, and that's why you're called a professional. There is a professional player in that room who knows that was his job.
Yep.
Right? And it knows that he's supposed to be there. And it's just, coaching and everything lands at the head coach's doorstep. Everything does.
Yeah.
And that's the way it goes. When you're the head coach, that's what you sign up for. But, Pat, I lean a little bit more towards, and it's hard for me to say as a former player, but I lean on a last play like that, I lean a little bit more to the players.
Yeah.
I know it's been walked through. I know it's been talked about. I know, like Coach said, 1,000 times. Somebody made a mistake there.
Yeah, and the other thing is too, guys, that during those walkthroughs, you really only do it with the ones. And the twos are sitting there on the sideline watching, and they've got to listen and pay attention to the detail. They don't have their cleats out there on the grass walking through this. Normally it's ones-on-ones walking through situational stuff like this. And you had two backups out there, right? You had two backup DBs. Is it maybe one of them? Is it maybe one of those guys that's maybe a little lackadaisical during the walkthroughs earlier in the year that they're not paying attention and they're not really drilled in on the true details? And maybe it could have been one of them. But, you know, I've seen Olin too many times when you guys are out there walking through and I'm looking around up and down the sideline and guys are hobnobbing with each other and they're not paying attention to the practice. And maybe that could be something to happen. You never know.
All right. Just a tough one, man. Tough one all the way around.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
It's hard. It's hard, Mully, as former players and guys who've been in that building.
Yeah.
It's hard to try to find someone to blame.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but that's what happens. It is a meltdown, and it is a lack of details and a lack of not doing your job, and it sucks that they got to go through it.
Yep.
Let's get to the phone lines. We have a lot of people want to check in. Dan is in Elgin. Hey, Dan.
How are you guys doing tonight, except unhappy like I am?
That's how we're doing.
Terrible.
I was cursing more tonight, and I can't curse online. I was cursing more tonight with this result than the poor double doink with Parkey. I mean, I've gone way back from Virgil Carter and Bobby Douglas.
Wow.
You know, it's so disappointing. And I'll try. I mean, I'm sure Eberflus, he's got family, he's got kids, he's got a wife. Personally, I think he should be fired before he even got to the microphone. I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, we can all laugh, but it's really not a laughing matter. Under Lovey, they had some kind of meltdown like this, and then he decided he was going to put Urlacher back at the goal line. And that changed after what I can't remember everything, but I mean it's really not funny, to be honest with you. I didn't like Eberflus getting his contract extension. Yeah, he had at the end of last year. He got a few games. That's great. They won some games.
He's still on his original contract.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I mean, I'm not. It's a real shame for the Chicagoland fans that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just hurts. I mean, you can hear it in your voice there, Dan. I think everybody in Chicago is feeling that way. And it just, I think, too, what hurts so bad is if they would have lost the game playing ugly the entire time, we would have said, what a terrible game, what a terrible performance. But when you go through that emotional roller coaster of seeing Caleb bring him back, scoring at the end, like I'm getting ready to walk out of the room to come over to here to be in front of the iPad to talk on the radio, and I'm walking, watching it, and I'm like, oh, awesome, we're getting to talk about this great win. What a win. All right, get your thoughts together. The next thing I see that happen, and you just go to the lowest of lows seeing that. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. And I think that's what we're all saying. It's just hard to deal with. And when you talk about being a former player, you put yourself in that locker room, you go onto that bus afterwards, nobody's talking. You get on that airplane afterwards, nobody's talking. And that might be a flight. You know, we've had some losses, Olin, where you didn't speak the entire flight. Like, guys really weren't talking at all. And then there are some flights, maybe different wins at the end. You kind of discuss things with each other, and it gets a little more, not rowdy, but you hear a little bit more discussion going on. I feel like this is a flight that's going to go all the way from D.C. to Chicago, and not a word is going to be heard, not a murmur. It's just going to be a pretty darn quiet plane because this one hurts.
It does. It does hurt, and there's no way around it, right? And that's what I'm saying about you got to take your responsibility. Everybody does, right? Coaching staff, players, and realize, and we talked about earlier, realize you can't lose to the Commanders twice, right? You got to accept the fact that this happened, and Arizona's never an easy trip, but you know there'll be Bears fans there, and you could make that another home game if you go out there and jump on them fast. So, you got to watch this film quickly. They have their iPads nowadays on the airplane. They all know, right? They all know who is supposed to be back there to defend that pass.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on the plane knows it. The coaching staff knows it. The guy knows it, right? So take the responsibility, but also the leaders and the coaching staff take the responsibility too for not making sure that we were concentrating at that time that we need to be concentrating, and use this to point out that, guys, when we're going over things, like not now, Pat, you can use this every time, right? Hey, stop talking over there. Remember the Hail Mary.
Yep.
Remember the Hail Mary. Remember how we lost that game. Remember how that felt.
Yep.
I'm watching a lot of this tape of that play from different angles. There's one that that shows Tyreek Stevenson, and he's standing about inside in the 5-yard line, and he's pointing at someone, talking to someone in the stands, it looks like, while the play begins. And then he turns around and he sees guys running downfield and he runs over. There's also another one where clearly they got three guys rushing the passer and he's got all day. And they got apparently T.J. Edwards is a spy on that play. They have him clearly moving with the quarterback both ways. Do you need a spy on that play? I mean,
no.
I'm not sure I understand why you would have him not. I mean, why not have four guys rushing? Why have a guy there waiting on the quarterback? Because everybody's deep. That is nonsensical to me.
Usually he'll trigger, right, Pat? He'll trigger when the quarterback run. A lot of times quarterbacks like to run to the numbers and throw it straight down the numbers, right? And so he'll wait for Daniels does a good job, and Kingsbury, them, they all know what they're doing there. The thing I wondered about watching the play is you know, why wasn't – you don't know what they're told to do, right? I don't know. Javon Dexter told not to push the pocket there. I don't know. I'd have to ask a D-line coach. You know, it's a good question to ask Eric Washington and Coach Eberflus. What are those guys actually told to do?
That's a good point. All right, we've got another timeout. We'll be back. 312-644-6767. You're listening to the Great Clips Postgame Show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's a bootleg instead on third down. Third down, and he's dragged down from behind by Sweat.
That's the one guy who can actually go inside and still keep contained on the outside. You see why he was drafted so high. He's got that next level ability to do multiple things. He's so far inside, almost everyone else gets outrun to the corner, and it's surprising, second time today, that Sweat. See how he goes inside there? Usually that's a very bad idea against Jaden Daniels, but Sweat can make it work.
Welcome back to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago. That is our hit of the game. That's the Bears' lone sack of the game by Montez Sweat. Boy, he better be okay. Sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. And the line is out, according to our buddy Big Z. He talked to Joe Fortenbaugh, and the Westgate has made the Arizona Cardinals a 1.5-point favorite over the Bears next week.
That's what the Commanders were, right?
Yeah, no, the Commanders were 3-point favorites in the look-ahead line, and then when Daniels went down, the Bears
Oh, that's right.
Bears were favored by a point in that game.
Yeah. And, guys, that's not a good look, what we were exchanging back there about Tyreek Stevenson before the play. Wow. I have a feeling John Hoke is going to rip him a new one, the defensive backs coach. He wasn't even paying attention at all. He's talking to somebody in the stands or whatever, and he's kind of late to getting over there to the ball and knocks it up instead of knocking it down, which is another thing you should do, but... That's a bad thing going around social media right now, and it's a bad, bad look for him.
Yeah, it's just when you've played as much football as we have, Pat, and you see a play like that, you know there was something happened there, right? You know, there was something going on the field where, and a lot of times, as you know, guys will get away with it, you know, and you try to talk to them about, you know, don't just be careful because that could catch up to us, and... it sure did. It sure did catch up to them today. Like you're saying, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. And I don't know. I don't know who the savior is supposed to be on that play. I don't know who's supposed to be back there with Noah Brown. I don't know all they've been coached to do. Only they know. So I don't know. Maybe Tyreek Stevenson ran over there and still did his job. That I don't know. But when you get as a failure on that play there, and then you're doing something like that where the ball is snapped and you're looking into the stands, that's not good.
Nope.
They're also, it looks like they were held about three times on that play, the pass rusher, so whatever. The Bears lost. They found a way. I don't know how, but it was a tough one. We'll be talking about it tomorrow morning, starting at 5:30 on The Score in the morning show. Olin, you will be joining us tomorrow. Pat, you're on with the afternoon? Is that...
No, I'll be on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Yes, okay. Midday at 11 o'clock. Yes.
Yes, and we should thank Tyler Buderbaugh for his great work today, as always. Mm-hmm. And thanks to the fine folks at Aurelio's. I believe the pizza, some delicious pizza delivered for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app. Start earning rewards. Visit AureliosPizza.com. To order and find the location nearest you, Aurelio's Pizza celebrating 65 years. It's the sauce. We will be on the road. We will be at the Wonderverse, the Sony Pictures Wonderverse in Oak Brook for the game next week. Make sure you come out. We'll be there. The game starts another 3 o'clock start, 3:25 start. We'll be there at noon, and we will be... after the game as well. So come out, watch the game, and you can talk to both Patrick and Olin. And I will be nowhere to be found.
I'm going to put you behind the curtain.
There you go. just for everyone's good. All right, guys. What an awful game. Sorry we had to talk about it.
Yep,
God bless
not
all.
Forgetting this one. All right. Have a good one, guys.
See you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.